Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Genesis 39, the first part, and I read verse 2 as text verse for the sermon. Genesis 39, I read verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The theme for the sermon is blessed and tempted in affliction. 2 points of attention. The first point, blessing. The second point, temptation. So the theme is blessed and tempted in affliction. 2 points, blessing and temptation. Congregation, some old castles have at the inside a deep well. And the reason that they have it there is when that castle will be besieged, then that well can provide water. So to have a pipe or something to bring the water in, or a brook, that wouldn't work because the enemy could shut it off and take the water supply away. But if there's a deep well within the castle, I don't know if you ever were in a castle, you have many of them in Europe, in the Netherlands, and we sometimes visited them with their thick walls and strong gates and sometimes even protected by water around it. And yeah, if you have such a strong castle, well, then you need supply, you need water when the enemy is around it. And some have it, a deep well inside, that can make all the difference of life or death. And isn't that a picture of the difference between a child of God and those that live without God? If we read about Joseph this evening, how he was brought to Egypt and how he was kept there, there was a deep secret in his life, and that is that well of the knowledge of God, and the Lord was with him. And someone that does not have that, well, where would he get his strength and his hope in such a dark way? Can you imagine the situation of Joseph, sold by his brothers, a teenager still, and to be taken away from his loving father and everything that was well known to him, and to be brought to a strange country, to Egypt, that country that has the Mediterranean Sea at the north, and that country that has that long river that with the name the Nile, and along those borders of that river it had the green pastures, because the river would cover the land and make it that the grass would grow. In that country they brought Joseph. Those people that would trade spices, yeah, they needed that a lot in Egypt, because they would balm the corpses, the bodies after a person died. And those Ishmaelites, they took him there, and there they brought him to a slave market. So there he is, slaves from Africa, from Syria. We know that in those days there are many slaves in Egypt. And everything is strange. And he is sold to a man with the name Potiphar. And he bought him as a slave. He didn't know the language, he didn't know the culture, no relatives there. Can you think about that, children, to be in such a situation? How can you take all these things? And the word is very clear about it. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. So the Lord was with him. Yeah, everybody around him would say, well, the Lord has left you. Look, here you are, you're a slave. Life is so dark for you. The Lord has forsaken you. No, the word says the Lord was with him. And the Lord made that everything he did succeeded. And there he is in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And how is it possible that Joseph, so young, that he could live in this situation? Well, later, afterwards, he could explain what happened. But there must have been something already here in his heart of that. Later we read in chapter 45 that he says, God did send me hither. So in a certain way you can say he was a servant of the Lord and not of this Egyptian. He was aware, he was conscious of the hand of the Lord in his life, not only when the sun is shining, when things go smooth and nice, but to believe that the Lord is ruling your life when things go in a way that you cannot understand and that you certainly wouldn't want. And then the Lord was with Joseph, and he has known that there was strength. The Lord kept him in this difficult, lonely situation. And the Lord not only kept him, but the Lord blessed him. So we can be blessed in a time of affliction. The Lord made everything that he did succeed. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. So they must have thought there, well, what is going on with this boy from Canaan? Everything he touches, it succeeds. It seems he has insight in the things he has to do. He can understand the things that are so difficult. He can do them. The Lord was with him. And they couldn't answer the reason. They couldn't answer the question what the reason was that in the life of Joseph that everything succeeded. But they saw it. His master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And there can be situations in our life that we certainly would never desire to come in, that we really regret if we experience situations of trouble, situations of loss, situations of disappointment, situations that we get a position that we wouldn't choose ourselves. He's a slave here. And now we read in the scripture that the Lord can be with us. And would you want to exchange such a situation with the situation of the brothers of Joseph? Is it not much better to be here in the position of Joseph with a clear conscience, although being a slave, but the Lord with him, than being in a position of his brothers, standing there with a blood-stained cloth, coat of their brother, being there with their father, but with the burden of their guilt and sin on their conscience. Oh, how much better is it to be in affliction, but with the Lord, depending on Him, and with a clear conscience by His grace. And that's not something that we do to boast in ourselves, but that's a gift of God. And there is Joseph. Let us never forget it. If we come in dark circumstances, let us remember this history, how God is with Joseph, and that the Lord blessed him in affliction. The people that would see him could think that he was forsaken, but he experienced that the Lord was with him, and the Lord kept him. What a deep secret it is to have faith and to know that God is there even in a dark night, and that He is shining in your heart, and that He is keeping you. That's a secret that the world doesn't know and doesn't understand. And it's so much better than all the prosperity of this world. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. So he's faithful. What a lesson to be faithful in whatever position we are, that it will be seen that we serve the Lord and not people as such, but that our eyes are unto the Lord. And what a peace it gives in the heart, even in affliction. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. So you can say, in this dark night, there is some comfort that the Lord has given to Joseph to bless his labors, and that he finds grace in the eyes of his master, so that he gets a position that he has more freedom and, yeah, some consolation in his life. God can do that in the most hard situations. Oh, let us be satisfied in what God is providing in our lives. I'm not saying that we cannot try to improve our life situation, but if the Lord is with us, then it's good. Remember what Paul is writing in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 7. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, you could also say a slave, is the Lord's free man. So Paul says you shouldn't care about that. You are free, although you are a slave. But the most important thing is that you are free in the Lord. And the Lord has called you to serve in that position. If you can be free, yes, that is good. But if not, well, here is a calling of the Lord to do this humble task. To understand that, to see that. What a blessing it is. What a peace and satisfaction it can give in our hearts when we look unto the Lord in the things that happen, when we see His providence, when we believe that He is not making a mistake, and that He will not forsake, and that He can be near, and that there is a blessing in the deepest affliction in life. So they see the wisdom, the skill, the understanding, the life of this boy. Well, you can say, yeah, if we trust in the Lord, if we trust in Christ, What a foundation it is. It's the only foundation. It's the only basis for real success, you can say. That is true. Otherwise, if we don't know that real foundation of faith in God, in Christ, well, any structure that we build will be swept away. But this foundation will keep and will protect. Well, this is a blessing that the Lord has promised in His Word. We read in Deuteronomy 28, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, all these blessings shall come on thee." Not that we deserve it, but that is His reward, His gracious reward. And so we should depend on the Lord, that He would give us a heart to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, so that we will be blessed by Him and give Him the glory. So there's an important lesson. It is not so much about what we do in life, but about how we do it. If you are a slave or a master, to use those terms, that's not the most important question. The most important question is how we do the calling where God is calling us, in the household, at school, in the office, in business. What is our intention? What is the spirit? What is the attitude? Are we serving God? Then there will be a blessing. It will not be without trials, but there will be a blessing. It will not be without hardships, but the Lord will be with us. Yeah, if you think about this, we cannot estimate the blessing of a Christian servant and those that have their business or their companies, they know that. We cannot estimate the blessing of a really Christian servant. Someone that is doing his calling as the service to the Lord, as in the presence of the living God Himself. And we know that there is only one true faithful servant. There's only one being on earth, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has served in a perfect, faithful way. He came not to be served, but to serve. And He did it fully aware of the presence of His Father, fully depending upon His Father by faith. He knew the calling that He had to serve, so that He would give His life as a ransom for many. And He did it. He knew the purpose, and He served in a perfect way till the end. He is the only really faithful servant, much more than Joseph. What a blessing to know Him. Our second thought is temptation. Congregation, when we are in a situation that we receive a blessing from the Lord, we should be ready. We should be expecting temptation, especially in times where the Lord is giving us prosperity. We have to watch out, because temptation is near.
And that happened to Joseph.
Oh, what a blessing it was that he got more freedom, that his master trusted him and left everything in his hands. He could walk freely in the house and in all the things of his master, and he was an overseer.
So he had a position that he had responsibility and freedom.
Oh, that's good, that's great for him who was a slave, sold to Egypt, and how to have this certain freedom. But he is in danger.
So yeah, we should never forget it. At times that we see the smiles around us can be more dangerous than the times that we see the frowns around us. We have to pray and to watch.
Joseph is there and he gets his training, you could say. Well, the Lord is preparing him. He gets a training in elements of successful business administration, and how useful, what a benefit it is for him later when he would be the prime minister of Egypt, so that he would be used by the Lord to save his people, his family, that they wouldn't starve because of the famine. The Lord is working in his life. But that does not mean that there cannot be a temptation all of a sudden attacking him. It's not a sin to be tempted by temptation, be attacked by it. I mean, the Lord Jesus had it in the wilderness, in the desert. The devil came. I know, we are not like Christ. We can be tempted by our own sinful heart. Yeah, there we are guilty. But I have a temptation coming to us from the outside. As such, is not a sin. As long as we do not allow the temptation to settle in our minds, in our hearts. As long as we, by the grace of the Lord, will immediately fight and reject the temptation that comes to us. Let us see what happens to Joseph and what the Lord can do. So never believe the lie of the devil telling us, well, it's impossible to stand against temptations. Because we see an example here of a lonely boy far away from house. You could say far away from the church. And he is kept by the Lord in his grace and goodness. We know the history, don't we? How Joseph is doing his work there in the house of Potiphar. And then the wife of his master, she is looking to Joseph. And she has sinful desires in her heart. He was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. That is where sin starts. She cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. What? Lie with me? You're the wife of my master. I'm not married with you. It must have been like an earth shock for this young Joseph that she would make such a proposal, such an evil and wicked, sinful proposal, so unashamed.
He must have had a red color of shame on his face by this proposal. But he refused and said unto his master's wife. So immediately, you see what happens? Immediately, he is not going to allow her to continue, but he immediately refuses and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. So he trusts me. My master trusts me. How could I do such a sin against him? Oh, how great to hear these words. Young man with a pure desire in his heart to be faithful, to be trustable, not to make his master ashamed. How has the Lord blessed the teaching that he has received in the house of his father? The words that he has heard from his father, from his grandfather, who might have told him about that sacrifice that Abram had to make and how the Lord provided. It's clear that it had been sinking deep in the heart of this boy. Let us speak about the works of the Lord. Pray that the Lord will bring it deep in the hearts of our children so that they will hate sin by the grace of God and resist by faith the sinful proposals and temptations of this world. He refused. And he is giving reasons to this woman why he wouldn't do that. Your husband trusts me. So how can I make him ashamed? And, you know, he gave me such a great position. How ungrateful would I be if I would do this sin? There's none greater in this house than I. Neither had he kept back anything from me but thee. You belong to him, not to me. He has not given you to me, certainly not, because thou art his wife. Oh, what a shame that he has to tell her this. She knows and she should behave like that. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This is important. To mention things by the name according what they are. You know, people can talk about sin in a way like, well, it's just fun. Well, it's just a small thing. Well, you know, it's a mistake, it's a weakness. No, that's not what Joseph says. And that's not what Scripture is teaching us. No, he knows what sin is. He says, it is this great wickedness and sin, not only against my master, but sin against God. So here you see that God was with him. The fear of the Lord is before his eyes. The Lord is before his eyes. I sin against God if I do that. How could I do that? God is here. And now, this is impossible. This is a great wickedness. If you can see sin in such a way, oh, it will be a guard around our heart. It can keep us so many sins. You see that sin is against God. He, the all-knowing, the omnipresent God. That's what Joseph is saying here. Let us never forget this. In whatever temptation we come, and we do come in temptations in this world, let us remember this boy here. If you would read the previous chapter 38, you would read that shameful history of Judah, his older brother, who was kind of on his own, but not as far from the church as Joseph is, and who did adultery. Judah did, and he knew better, but Joseph did not. You know, the Lord Jesus is born as a descendant from Judah. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be born from such a line of generation. And it shows clearly how low the Lord Jesus came, how deeply he humbled himself to save out of sin. But it also shows that the virtue of Christ is not there because of his ancestors, but because of himself. He is that pure and holy Son of God, that holy child born by the power of the Holy Spirit, received, conceived, and the power of the Holy Spirit born from Mary. He is the holy Son of God and the only holy man on earth. And he came in a world full of sin to save from all sin. If you are sitting here with shame in your heart because of the sins in your life, look unto Christ, who is so much more than Joseph. And he never sinned. Joseph has sinned. Not here. Not in this thing. But he was a sinful boy, man in himself. Christ not. And we need him, such a Savior, to be our substitute, to grant us righteousness, to impute righteousness to us. He can do that. He came to save sinners, to justify the ungodly, not by their works, not by what they perform, but by faith. So that, like we have read from the confession of faith, there would be fruits because of that love of God in our hearts. And that is the only way. Well, here is Joseph in temptation. And that temptation is accompanied, you could say, by opportunity. He's alone there in the house. Nobody would know. She wouldn't tell it. Could be quite sure of that. And, he could use some comfort, could he not? So alone, and he is a young man. Desires can be strong in the heart. But Joseph refused by the grace of God. And she persists. And he does the same. He persists to refuse. Oh, what a miracle. What a blessing. To read this in Scripture, that God is mighty to keep. Well, you could say, it seemed essential for Joseph to please his master's wife, isn't it? Would he not rather give in somewhat so that he would stay on good terms with her? It would be important to please her. His position depends probably on that. No. That's not the way that Joseph thinks. Yeah, there can be a tension between policy, you could say, and conscience. But it should not be. We should listen to the word of God and pray for grace to stand against all the devices of the devil, and that we would be kept. And imagine that Joseph would have given in because, yeah, his position, do her a favor, and maybe afterwards you can do much more good. How many people think that way? Let me give in now to sin, that's wisdom, because then later I can do much good. No, that's not the wisdom of God. And if Joseph had done that, yeah, he would humanly spoken never. He would never have been prime minister of Egypt. He would never have been used to save, because we know how this history continues. He would never have been used to save his people. No. We should pray, Lord, keep me to be obedient to thy will, by faith. And so there was a day that Joseph saw his father back, that his father blessed his sons, and all it had all to do with the fact that God kept him here, that he was obedient to the word of God. How terrible is sin? How terrible is this sin when we see it in a nation, when we see it in our nation? Is it not true that we have to say sensual indulgence is the surest way to national ruin? We've seen that in history. It happened to the Empire of Rome and many others, Babylon, and you can mention many others. Oh, that God might be merciful unto us, unto our nation. So, and let us fight sin at first suggestion, immediately, like Joseph did. Let us avoid places, books, people, whatever that might minister to evil thoughts. Sometimes you cannot escape like Joseph. He had to do his service there, and God kept him. We certainly shouldn't bring ourselves in danger to go to temptations there where we shouldn't go and don't have to go. But above all, let us look to a mighty Savior, that he will keep the door shut against temptation, that we might drink out of that well within the castle, when around us the enemy is everywhere. Oh, that we might receive grace to imitate by faith the example of Joseph. Or let me say, the example of Christ in his strength. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou art God alone. Thou art keeping thy children. Thou art able to keep in the most fierce attack of temptation that can come so all at a sudden, and how many were not prepared for that sudden temptation in a time of prosperity? How many were not watching and praying and did give in and did not refuse? And oh, how much they had to regret afterwards, like David. O Lord, we pray that thou would keep us to the glory of thy name, that thou would give a return in our nation. Bless thy word, O Lord, that it will be powerful in our hearts, so that we will be near to thee, and that thou will be near to us in Christ. O Lord, save our souls. We pray, do it for thy name's sake. We thank thee that thou hast given us this history in thy word. Let it be in our hearts to meditate upon it, to see the snares of the devil, to see the power of grace, and that will rule our hearts. We pray, Lord, hear us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.